Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
With my colleague Andrew McCarthy and my colleague Thaddeus McCotter, we turn to an article that Andy has published at the National Review Online, taking us into the intricacies of Section 1512 of the federal statute. It is entitled Tampering with a Witness, Victim, or an Informant. Andy, you're most concerned with something that was added after 2002 because of the Sarbanes-Oxley scandal, subsection C, having to do with what you'd have to say a hole in the original tampering with a witness, victim, and informant. What is subsection C that we need to understand in order to go forward with the prosecution of Mr. Trump?
John, subsection C of this particular obstruction statute was enacted because of the Enron scandal and the Arthur Anderson case, which revealed that there was this gap in federal law where essentially it was a crime to cause someone else to shred documents, but not to shred the documents oneself, which was very strange. So this provision is really aimed at corrupting evidence in a proceeding, mainly by shredding, but that's what the specific provision subsection C is. But in order to make sure that they covered all conceivable bases, what Congress did was add basically a general otherwise clause, where in the first clause they said, you know, essentially no shredding type behavior, and they itemized the things that you're not allowed to do. And then in the second clause they said, we're also making it criminal for anyone to otherwise corruptly obstruct a proceeding. What that ends up doing is roping in a lot of people whose behavior not only is not anything like shredding documents, but may not even be criminal. And the reason I say that is we are allowed to petition government. Constitutionally, that's a right that we have. And that includes impeding them from doing things that we oppose. So that provision potentially captures a lot of legal behavior. And what the defenders of the provision say is, well, no, because the prosecutor has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you did it corruptly. And what I'm pointing out is that corruption takes in a lot of behavior that may be indecorous, but may not necessarily be criminal. And as a result, the issue is, who does this statute apply to? And the Supreme Court is sufficiently troubled by this that they have granted review to a number of the defendants in the Capitol riot cases who were prosecuted under the statute on the theory that even though they didn't, say, shred documents or do anything to pervert the evidence in a proceeding, they prevented a proceeding from happening in the first place by conducting a riot that delayed the ability of Congress to review the electoral votes and declare that Biden was the winner of the election.
That is.
And is there a law that the current Justice Department has not tried to stretch to cover January 6th?
After Jack Smith's indictment, it's hard to imagine because remember, with respect to the Capitol riot, you would think that since you had people who were conducting some of them, at least, a violent uprising at the seat of government where police officers were assaulted and some property was damaged. There's plenty of federal statutes that deal with that in a very straightforward way. But their eye has always been on trying to get Trump. And they haven't been able to connect him to a violent crime. They haven't been able to show that he actually committed federal incitement or otherwise conspired in violence. So they've always had to have a theory of something he did to prevent Congress from doing what it's constitutionally and legally required to do with respect to counting electoral votes. And that's why this particular provision is important to them. But Thaddeus, as I think you're pointing out, if you look at Smith's indictment, they've also tried to get him on a civil rights violation theory and a fraud theory. So, yes, they are stretching statutes to the breaking point. But I think the main reason for doing that is not so much to go after the rioters, should have been easy enough to do that, but to go after Trump.
But just to make, if I can, John, just very quickly, that does two very injurious things. The first is it actually, by stretching the law, can diminish in many people's minds what actually happened there and obscure it. And the second part is it will then lead to the belief that there's a two-tier justice system in the United States where only one party will be held to the extents of the law and even beyond, and one will get off scot-free.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I mean, there was, during the Black Lives Matter protests, which were a lot more lethal than January 6th and a lot more extensive in time and space, there were regular firebombings and the like at a courthouse in Portland, I believe it was. And to my knowledge, I don't think anybody there was prosecuted on this assault statute, on this obstruction statute. So this does really smack of something that they have kind of trotted out for purposes of January 6th and not anything else. And what I would just point out to people is, if you're going to dilute due process rights, equal protection rights, there's no sui generis Trump law. When you dilute people's rights, it's everybody's rights, and these precedents will apply to others as well.
Quickly, Andy, we just have about a minute. I go to the law itself, and as you've quoted it in your piece, whoever obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding or attempts to do so. What is inconsistent there is the word influence. That's opinion making, isn't it? The other two are obstruction and impede. That would be a physical act. So they're saying if you have a political opinion that is at odds with the proceeding, you can be charged. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, John. And this has always been a very difficult distinction in impeachment law. So, for example, if you're my client and I'm your lawyer and I say to you, John, when you appear in the grand jury tomorrow, you better tell the truth because we're going to be dealing with a lot of problems if you don't. Everybody understands what that means. And even though I'm trying to influence you, I haven't done it corruptly. I've done it correctly. On the other hand, if I'm a mafia leg breaker and I call you and I say, John, you better tell the truth tomorrow. You're going to have a lot of problems. That means something quite different.
Right.
And I'm trying to influence you, but I'm doing it corruptly. So you can see why this is this can be problematic constitutionally.
Andrew McCarthy, National Review Online. Thaddeus McCutter, American Greatness. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,